Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Our respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is the spiritual breakfast, and the segment is with Hazrat Mulana Salman Yunus Hafidhullah. The date today is the 14th of Dhul Hijjah 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 11th of June 2025. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana doing? How's the cold day in KZN?
Alhamdulillah, tonight, for long we never feel the cold, and outside more just the wind in the urban area as well, the wind, rats, some rain and things. I think it's more the Eastern Cape that is full of snow. But I don't know how things that side, Joburg.
This side, it's our area here in Lanesia, it's 2 degrees when I was driving. It shows a sign when you're going for Fajr also. It shows a sign, be careful of the ice on the road. And we didn't see any ice, but you can say it's icy weather. Other areas, more in the farm areas, in that you're looking at -2 degrees. But I've seen this morning, I've heard of Eastern Cape people passing away, and or dying at least. And this was due to floods, the rains, Eastern Cape area called Mthatha. 7 or 8 people died there. They're still looking for a minibus that was swept away due to the rain and the floods and the rest. So, and yeah, I did read something of KZN as well to say that it's quite bad there. So I said I'll speak to Mulana and see how bad is it.
Yeah, with regards to us, this side is not too, I don't hear anything from maybe 2 days ago then that wind and rain started. But I don't know, I'm not aware of any damages or any problems as currently. But now it's kind of, you just say cool, no rain, the wind too subsided. We'll see how it goes forward, inshallah. Let's be sure with the expecting more. Or even that side, and only Soto also is full up of snow. So I think it's a cold spell we are heading into.
Gee, and generally, but the KZN Durban doesn't get so cold.
Our winters are not cold. It's just a nice chill. Just have to maybe put one jacket on just to feel a little bit comfortable. But compared to Joburg, and that it's not cold at all. But for us to come to Joburg in winter is a very difficult task. We find it, you say, you know, we'd rather stay beside because we're not used to the cold. Our winter is still like your summer, I would think.
Yeah, because when we went to Port Edward side and towards the south, as we were driving one day, we said, let's just go stop over at this crocodile farm. So when we went there, they were telling us that they breed these crocodiles there because the weather is good there for them, and it's the coldest weather that it reaches there in that particular area of the south. It was 8 degrees, and that's like that's the coldest, because crocodiles need a certain type of climate to survive in. So they said that's perfect for them. And yeah, you mentioned a few things as well of the crocodile, but we'll speak about that some other time. Chimulana, so let's speak of Mulana's topic today, inshallah.
Inshallah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If we're following the Hujjaj, inshallah, the timings, you'll notice that yesterday was the first flight of Hujjaj entered into South Africa, Joburg and Durban. And from now, inshallah, every day we'll have the Hujjaj returning. And when we think about it, not so long ago, we were just speaking about them leaving, preparing, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. And then we were thinking about how they are there. And before we know it, they are coming back. And every point of our life, Manus Batel Rahmatullah Ali used to say, we have to take lessons. We have to take lessons from everything. We can't just live the moment without pondering, without reflecting. Now Qurbani also, we know it happened, it's gone. But what has stuck with us? What have we remembered? What can we take from there and move forward with it? Rather than just saying we enjoyed it or Alhamdulillah, we fulfilled it. But more than that, what can we bring into our lives so that we can get closer to Allah Ta'ala? Every day, remember, every day is a day in which needs to be better than the previous day. And naturally, as a human being too, we'll see, we want to do better. We want to progress every step of the way. And sometimes we find that our brains, our bodies, it feels miserable, it feels uncomfortable. And that's more so when we don't achieve anything, when we don't succeed or we don't progress further or better than we were yesterday. Because now it's as though we never do anything or accomplish anything. So every day we have to see how we can get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Whatever we witness, whatever we see, how it can bring us closer and closer and remind us more of Allah Ta'ala. Now the Hujjaj, with the Hujjaj returning, imagine how the families are anticipating them, excited to see them. The children that were left behind, the small kids, their parents were gone to Hajj. Then those kids now are knowing their parents are coming back. So all this excitement, all this anticipation, and what's even better, what adds to the excitement is knowing that they are returning from a journey that is of their benefit. Knowing that they're returning from a journey, it is of their benefit. Sometimes a person is returning after being held back in a certain country, or is returning after due to getting sick and now he's managed to return. So yes, you'll be happy that I'm getting my family back after whatever difficulties. But one is now, you know, they're coming back after they've taken so much of benefit, getting so close to Allah Ta'ala, fulfilling this great act of Hajj. That thought also breaks it, makes it even more better, even more exciting, that I am happy that you went so long. I am happy that you are returning, because all this was for your benefit and our benefit. Because whatever you've gained, whatever spirituality you've got along the journey, then we hope to share in it. We hope to benefit now when you come back on how you can affect us. So those kids will be waiting, those parents will be waiting, the families all will be waiting when you line up at the airport. Why? Because they say, no, we don't want to wait for them to come back home. We want to pick them up. We want to see them as soon as they land, as soon as they enter through those doors. We want to be the first to meet them. Because we're excited. And we understand to show them we're excited, we'll be right there. Because they'll see their whole family, the men all there waiting for them. They're not going to happen. They'll feel happy also. Whereas when they come home, the family will be there also. But that they create a whole different atmosphere and a different emotion within a person, that at that first moment of landing, where I'm going to start seeing people, now I'm seeing those that I miss the most. Now I'm seeing those that are most beloved to me. That makes a big, big difference. So what lesson we can take from this whole enaction of meeting the Hujjaj and arrival is that, you see, one day we also are going to be the same. We are going to be waiting. We are going to be waiting for others to meet. We are going to be waiting to meet others and for others to meet us. And when is that day? That is the day when our eyes close. That is the day when we'll be going to Jannah, inshallah. And I imagine we are in Jannah. And we are waiting, like how we are waiting at the airport, anticipating the sliding doors to open, just to see our family member come through. And every time the door opens, we think to ourselves, perhaps now he's coming through. Perhaps now he's coming through. And when it's not them, the excitement dies down again. Our heart starts beating faster. Then we'll see everyone is coming. And finally, when we see them, how we start running, we'll start waving our hands to identify where we are. So now that will, that smile, all that they add to the enjoyment of everything. Likewise in Jannah, we will be waiting and we want to see our family. We want to see our parents, our kids. We want to be with them. And if we leave this world, we enter Jannah before them or vice versa, then the other will be eagerly anticipating that, where is my mother? Where is my father? Where is my kids? And they'll be waiting, but I want to see them. And I imagine at that airport, that person is anticipating the wait. And everyone is coming through. The crowd is getting smaller outside the waiting area. And he is the only one left eventually. And then he'll see now, what? Please. He goes and finds out that my son didn't come. My daughter didn't come. What happened? And then he'll be told, you know what? They missed the flight. They missed the flight. They missed the flight. And now how sad that parents would be. How worried that parents would be. That what they missed the flight. How are they going to come? What's going to happen? When are they going to catch the next flight? In the world, they can still take another flight. They still can cover up. But in Akhirah, if that parent, if that mother is waiting and waiting, and then it's told, you know, after you left the world, your child didn't die on Iman. Your child didn't keep that Iman within them. What chance is there then? There is no chance in that world. Now is the only time where we can work on this Iman. How we have that excitement of meeting the Hujjaj, but it's like they're like a newborn baby now, they're coming back. They want the Ihram, that Ihram represents just like how we will pass away our kafan. And now they are returning. And we are having that excitement. That same concern we have of being on time now, of making sure we see them, making sure that what they like to eat, we prepare it now, but maybe they never eat it all those times. Have it comfort, their rooms are ready, their beds are ready. Everything we're going to do now to prepare for them. Because they went on such a long journey, such a long journey. And we don't know what trials and tribulations along the way they had to do and sacrifice. But now they're coming home. Similarly, our children, our family, our concern should be the same. That such a long journey in this world they might have to be in. They might have to be in it after us. We might go before them or they might go before us. We don't know. Only Allah knows. So what are we doing to make it possible that when they end this journey, then we will meet together in Jannah. We will meet together in a better place and not be such that, as we say, the Anbiya alayhimu salam used to say to the children, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. What will you worship after me? What will you worship after me? That was their concern. They say today, our concern is, مَا تَأْكُلُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. What will they eat after us? What will they eat? Where will they stay? What job will they have? Who will they marry? Yes, as a parent, this is a natural concern. This is a valid concern also. But it shouldn't be our major concern. It shouldn't be our only concern, meaning that we work for that day and we sacrifice the deen of our children. We sacrifice the deen of ourselves. That now when it comes to us having to leave the world, and then what happens? We want that one Yasin to be read for us. But no one's coming to the grave to visit us. No one's even reading the Salah to read three quls after every Salah and to send to us. No. But then it all depends, how did we leave them behind? Did we make the Tarbiyah? Did we make the Islah? Did we teach them the correctness of Deen? And this we find now, which we'll list one more point we'll allude to soon. But as the Anbiya said, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. That should be our concern for our kids. What will you worship after us? What deen will you follow? Did we leave the pure deen with you? Did we teach you all the correct? Did we show you all the correct ulama? Did we put you all in the correct institutions to learn your deen from? That it's embedded in you all. So that now when we are waiting at the airport doors, when we are waiting at the doors of Jannah, rather than you all just entering only, you all will say, oh mother, father, take my hand, let's go higher. Let's go to the next level. Come, I'll pull you to the next level with me. That's the type of enjoyment and excitement we want. One is we're going to be waiting and seeing no one. Then what's going to happen? It's like that father, that mother is gone for Hajj, gone for Umrah. And that father, the children are only crying. Only messages are coming. A child is crying for you. A child is crying for you. We don't know what to do. Will they ever enjoy? Will they ever enjoy themselves on that Hajj or Umrah? The whole concern, the whole fikr will be, why is my child crying? Or my child is sick. What's going to happen to them? Or how are they going to be quiet? They're missing me. While they want to make the most of the journey. But that message is coming through is interrupting the peace of the mind. So, if that person just, you know what, we're not going to pass on any information, just leave it. Leave it. Let them enjoy it. And we will try our best to do what we can do. When we are going to be standing welcoming the Hujjaj, let us think of that moment where we want to reunite in Jannah, whether it's our family, whether it's our children. And in order for that reuniting to take place, we all have to pass it with the Iman, with the correct Aqidah. I know the difficulties in the world at the moment, but let us make the effort in our children. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ What will you worship after us? But yes, you teach them the world. But as ulama keep on advising, before you teach the children from young, before you teach them about numbers and ABCs, start teaching them the name of Allah. Teach them the kalima. Teach them the du'as. Let that be the first thing they learn. Because that will be the first impression on their young minds, on the young tender minds, understanding that this was most important to me to start learning. I learned it first, and then I'm learning everything else of the world. And then you see how much easier everything else of the world will come. Because you learned Allah first, you learned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. With the name of Allah, everything else becomes easy. So the first point is, that are we preparing for our uniting? On the day of Jannah, on the day of Qiyamah, when we are going to be put into Jannah, we want to be united, our families, like how we're going to be united now, inshallah, with the Hujjaj in the coming weeks. So let that lesson stick in our mind. Or anytime we visit the airport, even for that reason, might not be now, might be for a general flight, we are going to pick up our some friend or some relative. And just look at those doors, how it opens and closes, how people are eagerly waiting, and think of how that wait will be for me on the day of Qiyam, on the day of Jannah, that I want to see my family come through the door. They want to see me come through the door. When they come through, they want to see me standing and waiting for them. Because if I'm not there, then they'll be looking for me also. So everything in a believer's life is a lesson. Is a lesson. And the one point which we can take from Qurbani, as that's what we witnessed, inshallah, the time is running out. But amongst the whole lesson of Qurbani, it's from the many ayat in Surah Al-Safat that speaks about the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Just the one ayat, Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin, the one part. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. Allah Ta'ala gives a guarantee. Allah Ta'ala gives the verdict. Definitely, undoubtedly, we reward the good doers. We reward the good doers. And what is the good doers in Islam? Those that obey Allah Ta'ala. Those that fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. We, our duty is that all. That's all our duty. Our duty is not to go build big mansions, worry about getting 5 jobs, worry about this. Because then our focus is off. Our duty is to obey Allah. Our duty is to fulfill the command of Allah as Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Many times we talk about the incident of Qurban and we talk only of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is right. But we forget about Ismail alayhi salam. We forget about understanding what quality he must have had to submit in such a manner that, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Immediately, oh my father, you do as you've been commanded. We just listen to the story, but we don't really ponder. You know, Quran speaks about tadabbur, tafakkur, ponder, reflect. Sometimes we must sit and think of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now while it's fresh, we had Qurbani. Just sit for 5 minutes and think about the incident. Try to visualize it with the minds of the heart and the mind. And then imagine the scene. If you got a son, imagine the scene. You, your son. And try to just reflect. Just to try and understand and, for what you say, ponder and grab it. To try and see what was that moment like. What was that actual moment like? When we just listen to it and just let it come out of our mind same time, then the reality won't enter of what this إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ that this was the greatest sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So having saw the Qurbani animal being slaughtered, what happened, and imagine at that moment, people are different of different nature, to say, I can't see the blood. I felt sorry, I fulfilled the command of Allah. I did what I was expected. But as in my natural emotions, I saw the animal. I felt a bit of pity, but I was happy in fulfilling the command of Allah. Nothing wrong. But imagine for an animal, which we eat every day normally, and now because we're seeing it, it is having an effect. Imagine for an animal feeling. Can we imagine when his own son had to be done? And that was the same time we fulfilled the command of Allah Ta'ala. So when we visualize and we ponder and we reflect on each word, each sentence of Quran, then some sort of better understanding and essence is pulled out. So in the whole incident, Ismail alayhi salam is often forgotten. But think of what a son this must have been. Inshallah, we'll see on another time to discuss of Ismail alayhi salam. But what tarbiyat, as we are talking about, you are going to go, what's going to be left behind? Will that son, ma ta'buduna min ba'di, will he worship? Will he continue as good as you are? Will he be better than you in obeying Allah Ta'ala? Or will he swing the other way? Will he fall down flat into the traps of shaitan? Ismail alayhi salam taught us that, oh my father, you are waiting for me. I am waiting for you also to fulfill the command. You come and do it. You are going to wait for us at the door. I will meet you at the door. Don't worry. You don't worry. Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsin. Allah Ta'ala says, we will reward the good doers. We will definitely reward the good doers. So we have the responsibility of obeying Allah. We have the responsibility of fulfilling the command of Allah, submitting totally. The rest Allah will take care of. And that's the iman and yaqeen we have to build in our hearts, which is a very, very hard work that is needed to do it. Because of the temptations and the media and the indoctrinations around us of this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. Like now we're just speaking about the snow. And because from a young age we have been indoctrinated with different visual sights, then what happens? When we see snow, the first thing we think of is Christmas sometimes. Because we have been taught that it's a white Christmas. In the novels, in the movies, you have been often shown that Christmas time it snows. And that it only happens in North America. The rest of the southern world, the southern hemisphere, doesn't ever snow in December. But they have indoctrinated such that in the whole world, when a person thinks of Christmas, they think of a white Christmas. So with all this happening to us, that's why we have to work on this iman and yaqeen, to have that conviction, keep on reminding ourselves, do the ta'aleem at home, listen to the story of Sahaba, listen to the story of Anbiya alayhi wasalam, and not just listen, but ponder and reflect, take a moment, what I've read, one page, try and put yourself in that position, try and visualize in current day, if you have family, if this was to happen, then the essence of that test will enter the heart. Inna kazalika najzi al-muhsineen, that we have to teach our families, this is the iman, this is the iman, teach ourselves also, because whenever we see things, whenever we hear things also, our mind often goes to this job, to that place, to this investment. But Allah is giving us the guarantee that Allah will reward the good doers. And Allah's reward can never be imagined compared to what we are planning. We are planning 1-2 grand here, 1-2 thousand here. Allah's reward got no limits. So just like Qurbani, Ibrahim alayhi salam became an imam for the whole of mankind. His action was so beloved to Allah that until Qiyamah it will be carried out. We too, we will become beloved to Allah by submitting to Allah. All our needs will be taken care of. Beyond our imagination, beyond what we can even think or what ways we can come up with, Allah will make a way. Imagine Allah sent the ram from Jannah. Allah sent it down from a place which we thought is impossible at that time. We only look at around us the asbabs. Allah sent from Jannah the ram. So Allah will send from places we do not know. But it's our duty that we have to put the correct iman, the correct yaqeen in our families. And let us prepare, do what Allah wants, fulfill the commands of Allah. And then on that day, when we'll be waiting and standing at the door, we'll either be standing or we'll be entering. But that will be the happiest time where we'll be reuniting again. Like how we'll be reuniting with the Hujjaj now. We'll be reuniting in Jannah. That you'll have done it. You have done it. We have made it. Alhamdulillah, we are here. And then we'll see how the rest of our lives will be only in peace and happiness. Khalidina fiha abada. It'll never end after that day. But in this world, if we're not going to make the effort, then it mustn't be such like that person who is standing and waiting, and is told they were not boarded on the flight. They missed the flight. They did not make it. They did not qualify for the flight. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman, keep our children with iman, and let us do those things that are beloved to Allah Ta'ala and always bring His happiness, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for that advice, especially that last question. Make sure that we, inshallah, we do everything to get onto that flight.
Allah accept us, make dua for us. Inshallah, we meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.